And the title of this morning's message is From Useless to Useful. Tell your neighbor at one time you were useless. Tell your neighbor at one time nobody could trust you. They say they loved you, but they really didn't trust you very much. From Useless to Useful. Amen is the title of this morning's message. Amen. I want everybody paying close attention because I believe the Lord wants to speak to us before He speaks to them at 26 in Burleigh, that it may be fresh within our lives in what He's wanting to do here this day. So once again, the title is From Useless to Useful. Let's open up, and Pastor Jamie's got me all nervous. I could pronounce this Bible real easy, but he put a little twist on it, so now I'm guessing how to say it. Amen. Philemon. I'm sorry, Pastor Jamie, but as we go to the book, if you don't have your Bible here today, we can just, on the overhead screens, you'll be able to go to all the scriptures, and everything you'll be needing from the Word of the Lord is going to be on the screens. Amen. I can't even say it the wrong way now. Amen. Philemon was the way he was saying. Philemon. Emphasis on Philemon. Amen. Philemon, there's just one chapter. Amen. Just one chapter. And my Bible is just literally one page. And within this book of Philemon, amen, it's something rarely preached about. This book is, some of you are still looking for it right now. Amen. It's a book that's rarely spoken upon, amen, that many don't know much about, amen. But with this, one page is all about it. It's powerful. You're going to see the power that one page in the Word of the Lord can produce. And it's simply Paul, amen. Paul here ministering to Philemon, amen, dealing with the runaway slave. Dealing with a runaway slave, Onesimus. His name is Onesimus. Onesimus. Amen. Onesimus. So it's Paul here dealing with Philemon, dealing with a runaway slave. It's what I'm going to be speaking about here this Sunday morning. Amen. Let's read the whole page, amen, which is from verse 1 all the way to verse 25. For some of you that have never read this page, may become a little bit acquainted. That way, as I break it down, you'll have a better, clearer understanding. Amen. And the Bible reads, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor for this beautiful opportunity, Lord, to be able to be in your presence, to be able to hear your word, Lord, and to be impacted, Lord, by you here this Sunday, Lord, that we may be able to impact this afternoon at the location of 26 and Burleigh. Fill us this day that we may be able to overflow to those that are still lost and bound. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I know that was a lot of reading. It probably was confusing to the most of you all. Amen. But I pray as I break the word down that you would have a great understanding of this book. Amen. In verse 11, the Bible reads, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Amen. If you have pen or paper, this is time for you to take notes. Amen. As I'm preaching, rehab, I need you guys taking notes. Amen. I need people taking notes. If you're new to the church, I challenge you to get a good Bible, a good study Bible that you may be able to grow in the things of the Lord. Amen. So here, Paul, here, Onesimus was on the run. He was a slave that was on the run from Philemon. He was on the run. Somehow or another, he had met up with Paul. He had come under the ministry of Paul, and he would become saved. This runaway slave would become saved under Paul. Amen. So here Paul is working with Philemon. He's working with him, and he's trying to show him, because at this time, Philemon was angry at this runaway slave. He had run away. Amen. And Scripture kind of tells us that he could have ran away along with stealing as well. Amen. So I'm going to break down the word here this day. And we're gonna see how Onesimus represents you and I here this morning. The name Onesimus, this is the name of the runaway slave, means useful or profitable. Means useful or profitable. This is what his name meant. Onesimus' name meant useful, and it also meant profitable. Amen? And verse 15 and 16, to confirm what I'm saying is the truth, verse 15 reads, it says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you, this is stating that he had ran away, amen, was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So here, even if you continue to go in verse 18, he goes on to say, if he has done anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe Onesimus, under the ministry of Paul and as Paul was working with him, I believe conviction would come upon his life of him running away from Philemon, running away from Philemon because he was a good man. Brother Philemon was a good man. The Bible says that the church was meeting at his very house, I believe in verse 2. He was a good man. And I believe here, this runaway slave Onesimus, when he ran away, and verse 18 says, Paul says that if he took anything from you, I will repay it all. I believe under conviction, under Paul, he would open up and say, hey, I'm absconding. That's a word that many know. Amen. I'm absconding right now. As a matter of fact, I even took some stuff from my master, Philemon. And I believe he opened up, and this is where Paul would start to speak to Philemon. I'm going to just say Philemon, because that's the way I've been saying it, and I'm having to think a lot to preach here this morning and saying that word. So I believe Onesimus had opened up to Paul, and so as Paul was speaking with Philemon, as he was speaking to him, he had a little bit of insight. And that's why I believe in verse 18, he knew for sure that he was a runaway. But 18 goes, says, if he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Charge it to me. So here, Onesimus was a runaway slave, also a possible thief. It don't say it in black and white, but between the lines, it kind of indicates that he also took something. Nevertheless, I put here, Philemon was very angry with him, and Paul knew it. Even though Philemon was a good man, and the church was all meeting at his house, amen, he was angry with Onesimus, the runaway slave. He was, even though he was a great man of God, and the Bible says he loved, and he had the whole church at his house, and it speaks highly about his love and his prayers for Paul. But with this individual, the great man of God, I believe was angry with. And he wasn't seen eye to eye with him. He had ran away, and I believe he had took something when he took off running. Then in verse 16, amen, the Bible clearly tells us that he was no longer a slave. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. It kind of implies that he would become saved under the ministry of Paul. He would become saved. Amen. In verse 11, is the verse that I chose to have the title from useless to useful. It says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Amen. Here at one time, Onesimus was only useful to Philemon. Amen. He was only useful to his master. But in running away as a runaway slave and coming under Paul and being saved, Paul was trying to convince Philemon, he was trying to convince him that no longer was he of use only to him at one time, but now he was of use even to the great apostle Paul. And here Paul was trying to win over Philemon, he was trying to win him over in receiving once again his runaway slave called Onesimus. He was trying to convince him that he was no longer the same person, that he had been radically changed by the power of God. And here, Paul was trying to work and to counsel with Philemon. He was trying to work with him and saying that this man is not only now useful to you, but to me as well. He might have left a slave, but he's going to return to you a brother in Christ. And I believe a lot of us, when we first came to the church, whether it was this church, another church, the place of your salvation, you might have walked in one way, but you did not leave the same. And here, Paul was trying to work with Brother Philemon. He was trying to work with him, saying he was trying to convince him that Onesimus, the runaway slave that belonged to him, had been changed. He was no longer the same person. And Paul wanted to send him back to Philemon. He wanted to send him back so that he could be a use not only to him, but to also Paul. In the book of John chapter 8:34, the Bible says, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's why I made a comment that how many know that we are Onesimus? Amen? We're not only a slave to sin, but a slave running from the things of God. Each and every one of us, at one time or another, played the part of Onesimus. We were under a master, but the master was not Jesus. It was the enemy himself. We were runaway slaves, running from the things of God, running to the things of the world, to addiction, or whatever it might have been. We were on the run. And here, Paul, remembering who he used to be. You see, at one time, Paul was never always Paul. At one time, he was Saul, the Christian persecutor. Paul knew what it was to be on the run, to be under bondage in a mindset way of thinking he was doing what was right, but he was actually coming against God. He was a runaway slave under bondage, under the lies of the enemy, thinking he was doing what was right. He knew what it was to be Onesimus, the runaway slave. He knew what it felt like. And now Paul, it was no longer Saul. He had become Paul. And he would be able to look into the life of this runaway slave, Onesimus, and say, "Man, that was me at one time. Running hard and going the wrong way. Coming against God. Coming against the things of God." In verse 15, the Bible reads in verse 15, it says, "Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good." As Paul was speaking, he was almost kind of implying right here that God allowed this to take place, because he had a further work that he wanted to do in Philemon. He had a further work that he wanted to do in Onesimus, and he had a further work that he wanted to do in the life of Paul in growing the church. And here in verse 15, it clearly says, "Perhaps the reason," you got to read between the lines, "perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good." And verse 16 says, "No longer as a slave, but better yet, as a dear brother." How many know, I put here, God has a way of turning things around. God has a way of turning things around. Scripture says what the enemy did for evil, God turned it around for the good. How many know that each and every one of us at one time in our life were headed going the wrong way? We weren't just going the wrong way, we were headed for hell, for an eternity in hell. But God used somebody, Amen. God used a hard situation to get a hold of your life. He used a trial, a tribulation, something you didn't understand, something you didn't have control of no more. And he would use something that the work of the enemy was using to turn it around for the good. Sometimes, I put it here, things have to get worse before they get better. It's just the way it is. Not because that's just the way God is. It's because a lot of times we're stubborn people that don't want to listen. We just want to keep doing things our way. We just want to continue to tell people, I'm doing good, when the truth is you're not really doing good. When the truth is there's sin in your life. Whenever there's sin in your life, you will be running from the things of God. Sin separates men, women, and youth from doing the will of God. Onesimus had run away from his master. He had probably stolen something. He was in sin and he was running, even though his master was a great man of God. Philemon was a man of God, spoke highly about by Paul himself. The church was meeting at his house. Let's just go to verse 2, and it says, to Apphia, our sister, to Agrippas, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Separated for a little while, verse 15 says, but back for good. When I read that line, it says, wow. I put here in verse 16, Onesimus had left as a runaway slave and had returned as a son saved. John 8:35 reads, John 8:35 reads, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Amen. Under Philemon, there at his home, his master, amen, he was truly not really part of the permanent family. He was a slave. But he would return back through working under Paul. He would return back as a brother, as a permanent member of the family. Not only here on this earth, but for an eternity. Because he met up with Paul. In the book of Philemon, verse 17 and 18, the Bible reads, so if you consider me a partner, this is Paul working with Philemon, amen, he's working with him. And he's speaking to him saying, so if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Commentary would say that Philemon was a wealthy man. I mean, the whole church was meeting at his house. Amen. He was a wealthy man. And I could just imagine, Paul says at the end of the writings there, close to the end of the book, that he says, and, you know, prepare a place there for me at your house. Amen. I'm probably going to be coming back, you know, to the answer to your prayers. And I would believe if the great apostle Paul was coming to his house, that he would roll out the red carpet and just have everything ready for the great man of God, Apostle Paul. But here, Apostle Paul was telling him to do the same thing for this runaway slave. A runaway slave that had once been under him. He was saying, I'm sending him back to you. All that's taking place is for he would become a permanent son, a permanent part of the family. I'm sending him back to you. If you're we're partners, I want you to welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul, I put here, was able to see the worth within the life of Onesimus. Even though he was a runaway slave, probably a thief, Paul was able to see the worth in the life of Onesimus. Paul was sure of it. He was sure of the change within the life of Onesimus. He was sure of it. He put his name on it. He said, I want you to receive him as you would receive me. Paul was sure in what he was speaking when he would speak on the behalf of Onesimus. He was sure of it. He was sure of the change. I put here, just as sure as Jesus with Paul when he was still Saul, was sure of what Saul, when he would become Paul, would do. Before he was saved, he would tell Ananias that he is one of my chosen vessels. Before he was even saved, somebody was looking into his life. And even though he was a runaway slave in the bondage of thinking he was doing what he thought was right, here the Lord was able to see into the life of Saul. He was able to see Paul. He was able to see a great man of God that simply just needed to be touched of God. And here now the tables had turned, and now Paul, no longer Saul, now was looking at his life, once his life, in the life of Onesimus. He was sure that he had changed, that he would co-sign for him. Here Paul was saying, I'll pay the price that he ain't able to pay. I put here to give him the opportunity he needs. That's pretty much the words of Jesus right there. He paid the price in full at the cross to give you and I the opportunity to no longer run from the things of God, but to run to the things of God. It's one thing to run from the things of God when you don't know better. But it's another thing to run from the things of God when you know better. What can only make you run from the things of God? Sin. It separates. You can make it look like everything's okay, everything's good, but that sin right now is speaking to you. That sin, that conviction, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and conveying to you what you're practicing is not of God, and that you can even be in church this morning and still be running from the calling of God upon your life. You can quote scripture, you can say this, you can say this, but only you know what's truly taking place in your life. You may be able to fool the pastor, but you really can't. But let's just say you can, amen? But there's one person you can't fool, and that is God. You can't fool God on your best day. You cannot fool God. We need to take serious the opportunity that the Lord has given us to reconcile and lead men and women, the Onesimus that are out there lost and bound, running from God through the plague of sin. Some of them are so lost and so blinded that they don't even think that they're running from God. You will minister to men, women, and you today, 26 in Burley, smoking a cigarette, drunk and high, and saying, I'm okay, everything's good. I love God, God loves me, I'm all good. We're going to hear those responses today. They're going to be smoking, they're going to be doing all the above, And in their minds and hearts and thoughts, they're going to, some of you are going to hear, I'm okay, I'm doing good, really, I'm doing good, you know? And they're going to be smoking while saying this stuff. They're going to be cussing while saying that. That's why we need to come with the truth. See, I believe one of the reasons Onesimus was chained, the runaway slave, a thief, because Paul was the real deal. He carried the knockout TKO punch of Jesus within his life. When he spoke, Onesimus became convicted. I believe he repented and gave his life to the Lord. Because Paul was the real deal. He wasn't just a man of God quoting scripture and living another life. It's very important that we live righteous lives before the Lord to what we know as right today and what we know within His Word that we walk it. Because people out there need that punch of Jesus, that punch of the Holy Spirit that grabs a hold of their sin, that allows them to know that they're wrong, that allows them to come to the place that they need help. Allows them to come to the place, all the way to the place where they surrender in need of a Savior. All Paul wanted to do was give this runaway slave an opportunity. But he knew in making it right, he would have to send them back to Philemon. He would have to send him back. He was trying to grow Philemon, the great man of God, in accepting back someone that had done him wrong. How many know that it's hard sometimes when people do you wrong to accept them? How many can say amen? That when somebody does you dirty, does you wrong, when you poured out your heart and you've been loving them and everything, and then they strike back, it's kind of hard, especially when they know better, to accept someone like that. It can be a family member, a church member, somebody at your workplace. Here Paul was taking Philemon to another level. He was taking Onesimus to another level. He was no longer Saul, but he was the great apostle Paul now. And he was working with both of these lives, but he knew if the work was to continue at a greater effective level in the life of Philemon and Onesimus, they would have to come back together. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Verse 6 is what had me preach on this very powerful verse right here that ties into today. Very beautiful. Verse 6 reads, I pray that you may be active. Key words are active in the sharing of your faith. Active in the sharing of your faith. Look at the power of this verse right here. It's speaking about evangelism. I pray that you may be active in the sharing of your faith. Look what the next part reads. Look what takes place. Look what takes place when we become active in the sharing of our faith. We know what took place in Paul being active in the sharing of his faith in Jesus. It saved the life of Onesimus. So here he's telling Philemon, he's telling them to be active in the sharing of your faith. Look what takes place in us going to 26 in Burlife when we share and we become active in sharing in our faith in Christ. The Bible reads, it says, be active in sharing your faith, look at this, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. My God. Ooh, I'm getting dizzy. I truly believe here between the lines in this word right here, as we become active in whatever we might know to this time in our walk with the Lord, as we go to 26 in Burleigh today, that 26 in Burleigh, we might think we're being there to bless them, and we are. But here, this Sunday, it's not only an opportunity for them, but it's an opportunity for us also as we become active in sharing of our faith, that we will have full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. When we share our faith, our belief in Jesus to them, it allows us to have understanding of everything that the Lord wants to do in and through our lives. And that is one, I believe, one of the reasons why the enemy tries to shut men, women, and youth of the church from going out and evangelizing. Because there's power behind it. There's power. An opportunity for us to grow and us to go to another level of our understanding of every good thing that Christ has put within us. I believe Paul came to a place in his walk with the Lord. The more he shared, the more understanding he would get in what Christ wanted to do, not only in his life, but through his life. Where he would be able to write this letter. I believe that's where he saw God move the greatest, was when he was sharing his faith. And he would repeat over and over his encounter on the road to Damascus and how Jesus would save him. And he would be blinded. We might think we're just sharing with people, but as we're doing that, God has given us a greater understanding that would normally never be tapped into without the evangelizing taking place in and through our lives. I want the full understanding of what Jesus wants to do in and through my life. I really, really believe that the wisdom that I have attained over the years, a lot of it has come from me evangelizing and speaking about Jesus everywhere I go. Whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, speaking about Jesus. There was a time that I would speak about what connection had the best dope, right? What connection had the best dope? There was a time where I spoke about girls, what club was the one happening when I was still a square, just clubbing and stuff. There was a time when I would brag and all the 7-8 prisons I went to in California, how I used to walk the yard, big old mustache. I would post up like I was a gangster, and I was never a gangster. Today I'm a gangster for Jesus. Today all I can talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I believe it's not how much we know, but how much we say about Jesus. That allows us a greater understanding of the work that He has placed within our lives. And what an opportunity we have to grow in our understanding of what Christ has placed within our lives when we go and we minister the faith that Christ has given us in Him. It's able to mature you, grow you, keep you fresh. So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Wow. I think Apostle Paul there was giving a big nugget. He was telling Philemon, he says, you want to continue to grow? Take back Onesimus. Work with him. There's some people we need to work. I was real convicted putting this message together. For personal reasons, I was real convicted. I think Paul was working more here with the man of God than he was with the runaway slave. Because without the man of God, ain't nobody getting saved. That's like the horse comes before the cart. And I believe we have such an opportunity. Paul was looking at Onesimus and says, man, he just needs an opportunity. He's a good man. He just needs an opportunity. He made a mistake. Several mistakes, many mistakes. But I believe Paul was able to see himself that used to be Saul in the life of this runaway slave. And I believe Paul would, with the understanding now by all the churches he was starting, all the sharing of the faith and everything that was taking place, he would get a wisdom to say, man, that was me at one time. That may not sound like great wisdom, but you know you got it. You know you're doing good when you see somebody all messed up. And instead of critiquing them and making fun of them or coming against them, say, man, that used to be me. That used to be me. I'm going to give that brother an opportunity. I'm going to give that sister an opportunity. And too many times we forget what me used to be and look like and how we used to act. We forget. And as we forget and what we used to look like, we're not able to see the man in need. And we're not able to bring opportunity. Because we have forgotten who he used to be. Before the Lord stepped in and used a Paul or whoever it might have been. We forget. We forget. We take for granted that we're sitting in this temple building right now. And we forget. Paul, even though he was the great apostle Paul, when he was looking at Onesimus, he was able to see himself. Paul never forgot what Christ did that day on the road to Damascus when he appeared to him as that light brighter than the noon sun. He never forgot of what God did to knock him off his high horse and to get him going in the right direction. I want all of us just for a minute to think who we were before the opportunity of grace and mercy stepped into our lives. When we go to 26 in Burleigh, you got to see yourself. And when you see yourself, you will be encouraged that that man can change. You will be encouraged that that woman can change. Even though that man might be slinging dope in the corner, smoking dope right in front of you. Even though that woman you're evangelizing to might be a prostitute. You need to be able to see yourself in her and him. And if Christ did it for us, he can do it for them. But too many times we forget. So we forget who's before us. We forget that they're lost and bound. Because we have forgotten what Jesus has took us from. In my heart, it's hardest days. It's hard times right now for me, right? I will not forget what Jesus pulled me out of. No devil can pull me and lie to me, and I've been lied to real good by the devil lately. No devil can lie to me and remove the thought from my mind of what Christ did in my life 18 years ago in a prison cell. It was so great that I've been sharing my faith that very same day with a cigarette burning, I would take prayer requests going down the tier. It was so great, the experience that I encountered that very same day to present day, I'm still sharing what Jesus has done in my life. Verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. How many are going to the rally today? The 4th of July was yesterday. It's not today. It was yesterday. Amen? Tell your neighbor, 4th of July was yesterday. Tell your neighbor, today is rally day. We've waited for this day a long time. Every Sunday we've been getting rained out. It's sunny. The van's loaded. The speakers are in there. The brand new generator got fired up in the backyard. We're ready to rock and roll and go save some souls. Too many times we forget. And when you forget, you get all caught up in your problems. And when you get all caught up in your problems, you cannot see yourself in somebody else because you're looking into yourself instead of seeing yourself in somebody else. Is everybody confused by now? Everything I said made sense right there. Working with people that don't always get it right all the time. That's not only them. That's still us. How many of you have been getting it right all the time? Raise your hand, please. We mess up also, and we know Christ. And I believe that's why we need to be activated in the sharing of our faith, to continue to mature and to grow and to go from glory to glory. And to be used of God. We shared our faith when we were serving the devil. To be cursed and to be imprisoned and to die and to be divorced and lose children. We did all that stuff. But now in Christ, sometimes we have better things to do than what Christ, the purpose Christ has saved us. He's given us opportunity now to do the right thing. In verse 2, it says, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. That's a good one for the life groups right there. How many want a deeper understanding of what God wants to do in your life here this day? How many really want to know what Christ wants to do? And a lot of times we could all answer the question that we all want to do what Christ wants to do in our life, but sometimes we get detoured and we go doing all these things and we get off track of the purpose and the opportunity that grace presents itself here this day. Amen. I got some hot lights on me right now. I'm getting sweaty, but you know what it's making me do? Get excited. Getting excited right now. So I don't want to be running to my house, putting my shorts on and my tennies, and getting in the van. I'm going to get excited. Like if I'm going to go score something in 26 in Burleigh, like I'm going to go get high or something. That's what's in me right now. I was calling getting high on the Most High. I'm excited right now. Even though I ain't under the best of, you know, body-wise right now, I'm excited. Because I know it's being Christ-like. I know that's what Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm excited right now to go make some noise, some loud noise for Jesus. Instead of saying, God bless you, Jesus loves you. No, we're going to be on the mic. I want to let you know that one day we're going to get out there and go get busy. I hope somebody's ready to fire up because I might fall out but I'm going to give it a shot. Amen. I'm getting a lot of dizzy spells right now, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to let the blood hit my head and I'm going for it. Because I know this is what I've been called to do. I have not forgot what Jesus did in my life and what he pulled me out of. Wasn't addiction, wasn't prison, wasn't the street corner. He pulled me out of death to bring forth life and give people opportunity to have the understanding, the insight of why Christ has saved you. You think he saved you to get a job and get a car? Do you think that's what Jesus saved you for? No, he got you the job for you could tithe, and he got you the car for you can go to 26 in Burleigh today. He got you that vehicle for you can bring people to church. When's the last time you had somebody in your back seats? We got a thing going now where we're going to start, the leadership's going to start calling you guys. Amen? Bringing a few of you guys under our wing. Amen? We're going to start working with you. Amen? We're a church that, don't forget, we're a church that has church beyond the four walls. Many churches keep it in the church. But we're going to go out and make a difference in many lives today. Not a life or two, in many lives. And if God chooses to, the greatness of our ministry, if a man, we're going to take them, we're going to feed them, we're going to have hot dogs, sodas, and all that. Are we doing the puppet show? Tell me if we're not, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Because I didn't prepare for it either. We're just taking some big speakers and a brand new 1600 watt amp to make some noise for Jesus. We're going to pump the bass, the volume, all that like we used to do when we were rock and roll. We're going to do it. We're going to rock and roll for Jesus. It used to be Ted Nugent and the guys and Pink Floyd. It's going to be Jesus today. I told you, I'll tell you again, they stole our rally system, our amplifier. It was a 400-watt amplifier. So I said, devil done messed up stealing our 400 amplifier. Because now we went and brought us a 1600 watt. It will be four times as loud out there. I mean, those speakers are going to crash, man. Burlite's going to, they're going to go through houses, trees, everything. Just like a, you know, Sasquatch is walking through there, amen? Even some of you guys are going to say, what the heck, man? This is new power. That's what God wants, new power from his people. See me close the Bible, you thought I was done, huh? That's what God wants, a fresh power. He wants the amperage, the watts, to go up in our life. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Come on. When we were in the street and yelling in the corner, all that, doing all this crazy stuff, the loudest one in the bars and house parties and just being the loudest. Down to, God bless you, brother. Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for you. Come on, we got to come with something greater than that. Today, tell your neighbor, we have the opportunity to go live out and walk the message. To activate the message, the faith that Christ has placed within our life. It's what our ministry does all over the world in over 33 countries. This is who we are, and this is what we do. We do not forget, and we go back out to the highways and the byways, the streets, and we allow them to have an opportunity just as we were given. Amen? How many are excited? Please, more than three of you, clap right now. Two or three of you, agree with me right now. Because it don't take much to get me excited. Amen? I am excited already. Amen? I don't know, I have an altar call right now. It just cut out early and get some short. I'm excited. I don't even know what you want to do. Altar call, is it important? Altar call out there. Let me see. Do they need, these people need an altar call, Lord? Yeah. They're all Onesimuses. What do you mean they're all Onesimus? They're all running away from you? Which one? What row? Senate? Oh. Mm-mm. He's doing good, Lord. No, he's not. What do you mean? You didn't see what I saw last night. What do you mean? I was watching fireworks. I told my little boy, who can claim that on the 4th of July, we sat at the top of the roof of the church and watched the fireworks? We got to see the ones at the fair. We got to see the ones at the lakefront and the ones on the south side all at the same time. He was all scared on the roof. My wife saying, be careful with him, be careful. I was there at the real peak at the cross at the end. And Eliza's like, come on, man, come on, man. And then Bianca's up there, and they're all bringing fear into my little boy. Stayed up on that roof until everything was over. Says, we're so high right now, the mosquitoes can't even come up here. Nothing. I said, you like it? Elias, he's trying to be tough. Yeah, yeah, he bring me back. He says, bring me back. Put me down, put me down. And then at the end, he was acting tough. Yeah, we were on the roof and everything. I said, we're going to do it again tomorrow night. We're going to do it again. And get a little closer to the edge. Amen. A little closer to the edge. I want the keyboard player to come up. Amen. house, you walk out the door of my house and you just walk onto the roof right there. I got a great idea. They were looking out the windows. I took it to another level. We really got to be feeling what Jesus is feeling right now. What Paul was feeling, looking at Onesimus and looking at the situation and him running away from his master. He was looking into the heart of Philemon. And Paul now was no longer Saul. He was able to strategize. He was able to see through, work on both sides of the coin. He was now operating and activating his faith that had saved him on the road to Damascus. I believe here this day, the Lord, not I believe, I know that the Lord's going to move in a supernatural way, and he's going to impact a mother here this afternoon that may be contemplating death and suicide. It's going to be out there. And that 1600 watts of power is going to come through, screaming through her house with the power of the Holy Spirit behind it. And it's going to bring that mother out. That gang member that knows he's living a lie. And just waiting for a sign, looking for a sign. He's going to get it today. That youth member that's going without, that sees other youth that have everything, I believe today is going to be drawn in by Jesus as we activate and share our faith.